Welcome to this podcast from St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We hope you consider hitting like or subscribe. We hope you will share this audio with your friends and neighbors, help others know about our inclusive, theologically progressive community of faith. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can make a gift at stmichaelsabq.org.
God of the jailbreak, set us free from all the ways we imprison ourselves, from all the ways we imprison one another, from all the ways we try to lock up your grace, set us free. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to begin a little bit differently this morning. I want to begin with a spiritual exercise, an exercise of opening the heart. I want to take a moment to invite you to take a breath. Slow down. Close your eyes if you feel safe doing so. Notice what you notice. It may be your own desire to fidget. It may be your neighbor next to you. It may be your breath. Notice what you notice. Breathe. See if you can let go of any desire to change or control what you notice. See if you can let go of any inner critic which thinks this practice is silly or beneath you. Just let go. Now, turn your attention toward your heart. We spend so much time in the one cubic foot of real estate between our ears. See if you can sink down instead. Bring your attention, your inner gaze, to your heart center. See if you can feel your heart open. And just breathe a moment there. You're welcome to open your eyes. I wanted to begin in a different place because I think this teaching we have from Jesus in John's Gospel, it isn't primarily an intellectual one. This prayer from Jesus for his followers that they may be one as we are one, it's not about some doctrine or dogma, not really. Sure, we have built whole palaces of doctrine around words like this. We've built out statements of faith, catechisms. But Jesus didn't pray that his followers would memorize their catechism. He prayed for oneness. And oneness, I would argue, is not something you primarily experience with your brain. It's interior. It's deeper. There's a saint who was one of the great teachers of this oneness, Julian of Norwich. And Julian lived about 700 years ago in England. And she was perhaps the first woman to have written published words in English, in the vernacular. And Julian wrote about these visions she had with God, a series of visions. And I have to admit, for years, I was turned off by Julian. Dame Julian's words, as they were translated, as I read her in college and in seminary, her language just felt so traditionalist and Catholic, so laden with these old-timey ideas. And then a few years ago, I encountered the translation of our fellow New Mexican Mirabai Starr. And Mirabai's translation of Julian's words, it does take some liberties. For instance, when Julian says Christians, Mirabai translates the word as spiritual seekers. For the word church, Mirabai chose spiritual community. And these linguistics decisions, they make me want to have a long cup of tea with Mirabai Starr and to learn what she believes about the future of faith. But for Julian, for the text, The overall effect of Mirabai Star's translation for me was disarming. I wasn't on the defense against these old-timey ideas from an old-timey saint who seemed too far in the past. And I began to notice some of Julian's language that could break through. For instance, Mirabai Star recovered from Julian some language other interpreters had taken away. It turns out some of that old-timey language had something to do with the translators. Julian of Norwich in places refers to God as the maker, the carer, and the lover. Julian's words. But there was one word in the text in particular that Mirabai recovered, a word Julian used in English when other translators had taken away. The word that Julian used was one-ing. One-ing. Richard Rohr liked that word so much that he chose it for the title of the journal for the Center for Action and Contemplation, One-ing. And Julian turns Jesus' desire for us, his followers, into a verb. Our inner work, she says, is one-ing, with God, with one another. And the work of one-ing, Julian says, is a work of desire. Julian writes, we allow ourselves to be filled with the overwhelming desire for one-ing with our beloved, to listen deeply to God's voice. We delight in God's goodness and revel in God's love. When was the last time you took time for delight? When was the last time you reveled in God's love? I hope it was recent. When was the last time you gave time to God, allowing yourself to simply sit in a desire for one-ing? I was in a yoga class the other day, and I was thinking about Dame Julian when the teacher started talking about devotion. She asked the class to really ask ourselves, to what are you devoted? And I would share that question with you. To what are you devoted? What brings you to church today? Did you come to hear some intellectual argument that would make your brain tingle? Did you come because you wanted to see friends? Or to find some shelter from all of the frustrating news all around us? Maybe all of those are true. And maybe, just maybe, you came because you were devoted to a spiritual seeking, to looking for something deeper. See, with Julian, I raise the question of language because one of the things to which I am devoted is words. And now I hope words are a lesser devotion for me than my devotion to God, my devotion to the reign of God, Jesus' teaching of justice and equity and love available for all people. I hope those alongside my family and my community are my primary devotions. But I am devoted to words. I spend a great deal of time on words. Words matter. Language matters. And the paradox is that when it comes to faith, you have to know that all language in the end is metaphor. All language is a way of seeking. St. Thomas Aquinas, the writer of the Summa, the great theology, wrote thousands of pages about God. And it was Thomas Aquinas who said, anytime we start to use language for God, anytime we use words for God, we have to realize we are no longer talking about God. We're talking about our own construction. All language for the divine falls short, all of it. All the metaphors, all the ways we make the neurons in our brains fire, it will all fall short. Even the Nicene Creed. I know for some of us, especially the Nicene Creed falls short. We'll do a series on the Nicene Creed sometime. We've done them in the past. We'll do it again. But for all the formulas, all the language, all the words we use, all the cerebral power we leverage on God, in the end, the best we come with is metaphor. It will all fall short. My friends, we are living through difficult days. We are living through times that will try our very souls. And one of the most difficult things about these days are how little it seems we can do about the news around us. I've sat through so many meetings in the past weeks where I've felt powerless to make a change, to help, to improve the situation for my community, for the communities around us. Tonight, a group of us are driving out to Torrance County Detention Center. We're going to the place where thousands of immigrants are being held in prison in inhumane conditions, in conditions without adequate nutrition, with sewage backing up into their rooms. People are being held without due process for months in Torrance County, while our broken immigration system decides what to do with them. They're being held less than an hour from here, and we haven't been able to stop the suffering and the detention. And so some of us are going to go and pray. And we're going to go out there because we are one with the immigrants who are being detained. We are one family. We are sisters, brothers, siblings. Jesus, in the prayer that we have today, named a reality. We are one, just as he and God are one. And so we are going to practice oneing. The more we can witness to that oneness, the more deeply we can know it in our souls, the more devoted we become to this idea that we are one body, the more committed we will be to act when there is something we can do to make our neighbor's life a little easier. We go because we believe in a God who breaks open jails. God did it before. God will do it again. We believe in a God who sets people free. We believe in a God who won't let walls that stand between us stay standing, not forever. It may feel in the short term that all we can do is pray. The government isn't listening. The policy won't change fast enough. But don't sell prayer short. Don't sell your heart short. Because what Jesus prayed for, it's not about what you believe in your head. It's not even about what you feel in your body. It's deeper. It's connection. It's oneness. It's knowing, trusting that you are already united to God. That the love that binds the very universe together has already caught you up in an inescapable network of relationships. There is nothing you can do to alienate yourself from God. There is nothing we can do to separate any of God's creatures from the love of God. But what you can do is to practice oneing. You can practice letting go of all the distractions, the inner critic. You can practice letting go of trying to control your neighbor's breathing, the laundry lists of to-dos we all carry. You can practice sinking down into your heart, opening your heart to what is always already true. You are already one with the one behind it all. You are united to God. So take a breath. Sink into your heart. Practice oneing. Be set free. Be about setting others free. Amen.